And let's give God another hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 Are y'all going to pray with me on tonight? Amen. I love the word of God. And tonight we're going to be coming to you from the book of John. It's a familiar passage of scripture. How many has ever experienced that you can read the same some verses multiple times, but you can get something new every time that you read the word? It's sort of like, and I don't know if we have any movie buffs in here, they have something that's called, referred in the movies as Easter eggs. Yeah. Have you ever heard of that terminology? Yeah. These are hidden moments in movies that are placed there on purpose by the creators, waiting to be discovered by those who are really paying attention. Yep. It's like a deeper layer meant to reward those who watch closely. So just like finding a hidden detail in a movie makes the story richer, seeing hidden truths in the Bible revealed by the Holy Spirit makes God's word come alive in powerful ways. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Okay, he wept, but why did he weep or something like that? And he can reveal something to you and touch you in your soul. So I also know that sometimes when you read, you can set in your mind, I'm going to read the word on today. You know, at the beginning of the year, how many made New Year's resolutions in January? And those who are online, we hadn't forgotten about you. Those who are online, first, thank you so much for tuning. The Bible, you have your highlighter, you have your ink pen, you have your journal book, and you're ready. And then all of a sudden, you start getting sleepy and your eyes start getting heavy. That's a distraction, because the devil knows that your life is in that word. And so that's one of the key things that you need to draw closer to God and build and sustain a relationship with him. It's through his word. So those are the types of things that will happen. I just want to talk briefly about the word of God and the importance before we kind of step into our lesson, because it's a lot of things that's going on in the world today. So it's, you know, you may have things that's going on with your job, and it's just things politically that's happening, and there's famine in the land, there's people that's shooting people at Walmart and different places that we may frequent. We think that when we watch it on television, it's them, but it could happen right here in anywhere US of A or anywhere globally. So we just thank God for his protection and his angels camping around about us. But it's important for us to now, we need to really buckle down and get closer to God. We have to get closer to God. We have to get those discipline. Get discipline about reading your word. Be disciplined about prayer and all those things. So when you read God's word, you're not just gaining knowledge. You're being formed and sharpened and empowered to serve with purpose. Amen. You must understand that the Bible isn't a training ground. It's your compass and lifeline for all God has called you to do. And so 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says it this way. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto works. So what was happening going on in this scripture was Apostle Paul was writing a letter, one of his final letters from prison to his protege, Timothy. And he was encouraging him. He was giving final encouragement and instruction and warning to Timothy as he led the church and preached the word of God. So Paul tells Timothy that all scripture is God-breathed. He lists four key ways scripture benefits believers. Scripture is profitable through doctrine. Doctrine is going to teach us what is true. It's the foundation of our faith. That scripture then says that that scripture is profitable through reproof. It shows us what's wrong. It lovingly convicts us when we stray. Also for correction, it guides us back and helps us realign with God's will. Instruction in righteousness, it trains us to live in a way that is pleasing to God. So scripture isn't just for reading, it's for shaping our lives. So that's why I wanted to take that time to stress that, because God's word is going to prepare you to serve him, to be spiritually strong and ready for any task he assigns. It makes the believer complete and fully equipped. Here's the key: with everything needed to live out your purpose and complete your God-given assignments for the kingdom of God. And the prayer would be the prayer prior to we starting talked about restoration, and talked about completing assignments and fulfilling the assignments and the will of God. So we're going to kind of tap in on that on tonight. So, like I said before, it's really time for us to get extremely serious about our walk with God. With all that's going on, we need to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. It's one or the other. Amen. It's hot or cold. It's not a lukewarm. So you need to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. All right, if you could turn with me to John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. And we're going to ask that you stand in reverence of God's holy word. Amen. John 5, verses 1 through 9 reads on this wise. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man there, which had an infirmity 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. As you take your seat, help me announce the topic of tonight's Bible study by shouting, Rise,
rise,
take up your bed,
and walk.
Amen. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And the subtitle is Walking Out of Spiritual Paralysis into Purpose. Amen. So let's give some background to better understand the setting of the passage of this scripture. At the beginning of John chapter 5, Jesus is traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem to attend a Jewish festival. We're not told which festival, but some scholars believe it to be the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 2 points out a layout of the area by stating, Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. So the sheep market refers to an area near the sheep gate in Jerusalem where sheep were brought in, likely for temple sacrifices. The sheep gate mentioned in Nehemiah 3:1 was one of the gates in the city walls of Jerusalem. It was named the sheep gate because it was the entry point or the entrance point for sheep entering the city to be used for temple sacrifice. That's all right if we talk about the setting a little bit, okay? All right. Therefore, the sheep market was likely located near the sheep gate to facilitate the movement of the livestock. The sheep gate, the sheep market, and the Pool of Bethesda, meaning house of mercy or house of grace, was essentially in the same general area. By placing the Pool of Bethesda near the sheep market and sheep gate, John subtly ties the theme of healing and mercy to the area associated with atonement and sacrifice. Yes. John the Baptist earlier declares Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So this setting near the sheep market where sacrificial lambs pass through foreshadows Jesus' role as the ultimate sacrificial lamb. Nothing goes wasted in the words in the Bible. It never goes wasted. There's intention in the word of God. So I could just envision Jesus passing by all of those animals, just walking through Jerusalem, walking to Jerusalem to the Pool of Bethesda, knowing that all their services would no longer be needed in that way because the Lamb of God was on the scene. There is so much I can say there, but let's go ahead and move on. So here we have the Pool of Bethesda having five porches, five symbolizing the number of God's grace. So these five porches, or colonnades as they are called, they were covered walkways that surrounded the pool, likely one on each side and then one in the middle that was separating the pool. So these porches provided shelter for the sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed who were gathered there waiting for healing. So can you just imagine those porches being filled with people waiting to be healed? Because that's a large place. So it's packed. And if you're in desperation and you're in need, you want to stay there as long as you need to get your healing. So from this great multitude of people, Jesus singled out one person. So verse 5 tells us that a certain man at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, and that this man lived with an infirmity, a condition that left him unable to walk, unable to move. Day after day, he lay there near the pool of Bethesda, watching others move ahead while he remained behind. No name, no recognition, just pain, delay, and disappointment. So I have a question I'd like for you to reflect upon as we continue in this study. And this question is for those who aren't maybe not saved, the person new in the faith, the seasoned saint, and the person that may feel like they have it all together. They have everything in a bag, but not in actuality, their bag is full of holes and they don't even know it. This is for you. You see, although we may be serving and thriving in one area of ministry, if God told you to do something and you hadn't done it, I hate to break the news to you. You're paralyzed. So my question to you is this. What condition are you afflicted with that have left you spiritually paralyzed? So as you reflect on that question, let's talk a little bit about paralysis. Physical paralysis is when your body can't move or feel. Physical paralysis can lead to feelings of helplessness, shame, or hopelessness. So this can trigger mental paralysis, the inability to make decisions, take initiative, or even see beyond your condition. Physical paralysis can also lead to depression and anxiety. You may become stuck, unable to dream, plan, or even hope. Physical paralysis may lead to a sense of identity loss. This can cause spiritual shutdown. So if physical paralysis can lead to all those things I just mentioned, then what about spiritual paralysis? Spiritual paralysis is when you feel stuck in your faith, like you can't move forward, like you can't grow or respond to God the way you want to. It's a state where fear, doubt, disappointment, or life struggles keep you from praying, believing, or walking in your purpose. Am I the only one that this has happened to?
No.
Okay. All right. Amen. It's a state where your spirit becomes inactive, disengaged, or unresponsive to God's prompting and your sense of purpose. What can spiritual paralysis lead to? Stagnation in faith. You stop growing. No fruit. Prayer becomes dry. Worship feels empty. And reading the word feels meaningless. You may know truth intellectually, but feel no fire when you walk in it. You're not growing. So 2 Timothy 3 and 5 says, you're having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So it refers to people who appear spiritual on the outside, but they are an empty shell on the inside. They may talk about God, but don't submit to his authority or allow the Holy Spirit to change their heart. There is no inner surrender, conviction, or fruit. So the second, what spiritual paralysis can also lead to, disobedience or delayed obedience. And how many know that is one and the same? Okay. Delayed obedience, which is still disobedience since you didn't heed to the instruction in the first place. You know what God has told you to do, but you feel unable or unwilling to move. This can lead to missed assignments, lost opportunities, or spiritual regrets. Now, this study tonight is for you to reflect and take this in and see if it's you, say ouch and do better. So the Luke 6:46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" This is the word of God. He's telling us this. You're going to church, you're singing praise and worship songs, you're bringing your tambourine to church, and even praying to God, but your life doesn't line up with the word of God. God is saying, if I'm really Lord of over your life, then where is your obedience? Yeah. It can also lead to emotional and mental distress. Yeah. Confusion, depression, and anxiety can all increase when your spirit is disconnected from your purpose. You feel empty. You may feel weighed down by guilt, shame, or fear, but too numb to respond. Fear is one of those things. It has, oh goodness, it has taken, just kind of overtaken a lot of us, that's causing us to be paralyzed. But we know that we can have faith over fear. God has not given us a spirit of what? But of what? In sound mind. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Also, spiritual paralysis can lead to isolation from the body of Christ. You pull away from church, fellowship, or spiritual accountability. Shame or discouragement can keep you hidden when you most need community. I remember a time, so when I was probably, I was probably in my 20s. So I went to the beach, knowing I couldn't swim. But I had one of those like boogie boards. It's almost, y'all remember boogie boards? It's almost like a little surfboard, but small. So I said, as long as I can touch the ground, I'm gonna just go ahead. This is the Atlantic Ocean now. So it was a beach on Tybee Island Beach. And so I'm like, I can touch the ground, and I'm just going on out there. And before I knew it, I couldn't touch the ground of the floor of the ocean anymore. I was in trouble. I knew I was in trouble. And then when I look back, I'm just floating and just enjoying myself. And I look back at the shore and realize how far out I floated, and I couldn't touch the ground. So I'm holding on to this board like this, and I'm in a panic state. I couldn't move, because if I wobbled on that thing, I couldn't touch the ground. And so I believe these people, they were angels from God that came out. It was a guy and a girl. I'm like, out here, but I asked them later, but I'm like, thank God they were out there. It just seemed like they appeared. So if I was silent, I said, help, help, help. And they were able to bring me on in. But if I didn't say anything, if I just stayed silent, then I wouldn't be here on tonight. So I thank God that's kind of the same way. Isolation, if you by yourself and you don't have those around you, then you can't even just reach out to them and ask for help. That's also a distraction, and that is one of the things the enemy wants to plague you with, thinking that you're going, okay, I'm going to pull you by yourself so you can stay isolated, so you can stay within your own thoughts. And your thoughts, if they're not godly thoughts, if you're not reading your word, if you're not being fed, if you're not around community, then you can just eat yourself up within. And we talk about the enemy and Satan and stuff, but what about the enemy within me? You can be your own worst enemy, and you can kill yourself with your thoughts. So Ecclesiastes 4:10 says, "Woe to the one who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up." So spiritual paralysis can also lead to vulnerability to the enemy. We talked about that. And an active spirit becomes a target for lies, deception, and spiritual warfare. You may begin to believe untrue things about God and yourself in your future. You'll start thinking like, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. God has not chosen me, not me. You start comparing yourself to other people, and then you just start then the enemy is just going to come in, and he's going to devour you. It says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So I don't know if you've watched National Geographic, but you see the gazelles and that's why they go into packs. But then the lion's just sitting there watching them. He's looking for the weak one. He's looking for that weak gazelle. He's looking, he goes for the babies, or he goes for the ones that already have some type of infirmity that can't run. And then he just sits and waits. He'll wait all night long. But when it's time to move and they see where that gazelle can't move, then he goes and pounces, and that's the one he devours. So just like the devil does, he's going to sit around and wait. He's going to wait until your most vulnerable situations and your most vulnerable times, then he wants to devour you. Purpose miscarried or delayed. That's another thing spiritual paralysis can lead to. Spiritual paralysis can lead to purpose being paused, gifts unused, and callings dormant. So we may have in our lives where we had gifts, or somebody may have told you or prophesied over to you years ago, or saw something in you that you probably didn't see yourself, or you knew you had purpose, but it was on pause. These are just purpose miscarried or delayed. And the last thing, bitterness or hardened heart. So over time, disappointment and being passive can become, you can become resentful toward God, others, or yourself. You can become numb or even skeptical, distrustful about spiritual things. So that's a lot of things that spiritual paralysis can lead to. But just as the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda lay waiting for healing, stuck in the same condition for 38 years, many today sit spiritually paralyzed in churches, actively serving in ministry, but spiritually paralyzed, bound by unresolved afflictions. Yet the same God who saw that man way back then is the same God that sees you right now. Same God back then, same God right now. So here's a few key points that the scripture reveals us. God has called you out of the multitude. He has singled you out because there is something that he specifically has for you to do. You see how this word is coming alive? It's not just about the lame man, but he singled him out then, but he's singling you out. He sees you. He knows you. He knows everything about you. So King David expressed God's all-knowingness in Psalms 139. He says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Yes. He knows everything about you. So Jesus knows how long you've been hurting. He knows about your struggles, your strongholds that have you bound. He knows about the afflictions that have you in a frozen state or state of animation. So we're going to go back to school for just a little bit. So in the process of getting my science degree, I had to take a biology class. And so in that biology class, it talked about the state of animation about with animals. So what that is, in this class we learned that suspended animation is when an animal's body slows down or almost stops working for a while, helping it survive tough situations like extreme cold or lack of food. So like spiritual paralysis, it's when your gifts or purpose are dormant but not dead.
Come on.
It's like they're being put on pause. So God is not bound by time, but he moves in time. So that lets us know that he operates in kairos, not chronos. So chronos is a chronological sequential time measurement of time. That's where you can measure it on a clock or a calendar. So for example, the man at the pool of Bethesda waited 38 years. It's been 38 years. That's chronos. Kairos is the right, critical, or opportune moment, a divinely appointed time. For example, though the man had suffered 38 years, it took one moment with Jesus to change everything. In an instant, he was healed. That's Kairos. So once Jesus finds a certain man, he asks the man a question. So we just kind of walk in the text. He asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" So to be made whole means more than just physical healing. It refers to being restored completely. Being made whole meant receiving strength, mobility, and restoration of his body. It also meant emotional and mental restoration for the man. Basically, total restoration. Jesus was inviting the man to regain his dignity, identity, and his purpose. After being asked this question, you would think the paralyzed man's immediate answer would be yes, but that wasn't the case. The man replied that, "I have no one to help me, and every time I try to reach the water, somebody else gets there before me." Wait, what? This man's been here for 38 years, and you come face to face with the healer, and that's your response. I was scratching my head when I read that. I would have been like, yes, yes, yes. But after I gave it some thought, I said, well, why didn't he just say yes? So could it be the condition that he was in was he was in such a condition that he couldn't even think straight? So he was focused on the problem and not the possibility. He looked at his limitations and past letdowns, not at the power of the one who was asking the questions. His hope had been weakened. After waiting so long without change, he likely lost the ability to dream or expect something different. He thought healing only came one way. Remember, people would come to the pool of Bethesda. This is a ritualistic thing that they would happen, that would happen each year, and they would wash themselves. So that he was thinking that, no, this is the only way. I'm waiting for the angel to come and stir the water. So that's the only way I could be healed, certainly. So he was stuck in the method, which was the pool, not realizing that the healer was now standing right in front of him. In other words, he didn't say yes because he was too hurt, too tired, or too stuck in how things had always been to believe healing could come any other way, and especially not now. So now before you judge the man and his response, consider yourself. How many times have you been stagnant and not acted on prompting of the Holy Ghost? How many times have you self-sabotaged the plans of God for your life? How many times have you blamed the enemy when I said before the enemy was you? There are some of you right now who are spiritually paralyzed. You've been praying for a change to come. Then Jesus shows up, asks you the question, "Will thou be made whole?" Like he asked the paralyzed man, "Do you want to be made whole?" And here's been some of our responses and excuses. We used to stay stuck in paralyzed in spiritual paralysis instead of stepping into our God-given purpose. So these are some of the excuses. This is our response. So we're going to put the man to the side for a second. We're not going to judge him. Let's consider ourselves. Here's some excuses. "But I've been like this too long. This is just how I've always been." We convince ourselves that too much time has passed, that change is no longer possible for me. Here's another excuse. "But I don't have anyone to help me. I don't have support, guidance, or someone to push me." Like the man at the pool of Bethesda, we focus on what or who we don't have instead, or who's standing right in front of us, Jesus. And I want to take it a step further. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Christ is just not our Savior. He's our mirror.
Come on.
What we see in him, we were created to reflect.
Come on.
So we are the help we're looking for in many instances, but we just can't see it. Another excuse we use is, "But I tried before and I failed." I'm coming down your road. If this hadn't been you, nothing has worked in the past, so why bother? Past disappointments make us afraid to hope again. It's like if you had a wound there before, you know, and once it heals, and sometimes you just have, what is that, PTSD on sometimes? Like it can be a wound, or if you had surgery or something, you could be healed, But then when it starts raining, ooh, I feel it right here. You've been healed years ago. You're like, ooh, I feel it right here. There's nothing right there. But here's another excuse we use. But I'm not good enough. I'm messed up too much. I'm not worthy. We let shame or insecurity convince us that we're disqualified. And here's the thing. When we do this, we negate and nullify the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because he put himself in our place. And that's the whole reason why he did that. So when we say, I'm a sinner, I'm not good enough. Jesus is like, so why did I die for you again? So you're saying God ain't God, Jesus. Another excuse, but I don't know where to start. It's overwhelming. I wouldn't even know what to do. Many of us, we keep going and rehearsing and playing. I don't know where to start. And guess what? 5 years has gone by where you hadn't started saying, I don't know how to start. But in those 5 years, you could have found out how to start. Paralysis sets in when we overthink instead of taking small, obedient steps. I want to lose 20 pounds. You see, a lot of times we're going to go back to the New Year's resolution and things like that. We want to start and we want to say, I want to lose all this, or I want to do all. We overpromise. So just start with one step. Just start little and then, you know, celebrate the small wins and just do a little bit more. So if you read in your word, I'm going to read the Bible in a year. How many did that? Online? I know you did that. You probably got it on your phone right now. And you know good. And it's reminding you. That phone says you hadn't read in 2 days. You hadn't read in 5 weeks. It's 364 days. Child, you're not going to finish this. You're not going to read this Bible this year. Just give on up. So start small. Start with what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to pray 3 hours. In 3 minutes, you fell asleep. Start small and then continue. God will honor your consistency because you got to give your yes. So all he's asking for is your yes, and then he'll give you the help, and he'll give you what you need in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy, we say Holy Ghost too? We still have, okay. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same thing. Amen. Amen. We'll give you what you need in those moments. That's why it's so important to have the Holy Spirit in your life. But what if I fail? I don't want to disappoint God or others again. We said, I don't want to move. I'm paralyzed because I don't want to fail. I don't want to disappoint God. But guess what? You're disappointing God when you don't move. He's already disappointed. He loves us. And there's a way. It's not all doom and gloom, so I just want to say that. But fear of failure keeps us from even trying. Yes. So I want to tell you this. Don't let your butt get you in trouble. Amen. That's butt with one T now. One T. Don't let your butt, B-U-T, get you in trouble. When you continue to say but, you now begin to worship your excuses. In essence, you're making excuses your idol. So anything you put above God, that's an idol. So if this is you, then you need to fix your heart posture. How do you do that? Instead of saying, but I've been sick for so long, say, by his stripes, I am healed. So remove the buts. Which brings me to my next point. We said this before. Although the man didn't say yes to Jesus' question, guess what he did? He responded. He couldn't move his legs, but he moved what he could. He moved his mouth. Come on. So your deliverance is voice activated. Freedom begins when you open your mouth and respond in faith. It often starts with a response. You have to move something. It was a something. BC, move something. Move something. You got to move something. Tell your neighbor, move something. So here's another point. Your silence can kill you, but your voice can resuscitate you. Your healing, freedom, and purpose are often waiting on your voice to activate what God has already made available. You've heard me say your deliverance is voice activated. You've declared, move something. You've been reminded that your silence can kill you, but your voice can resuscitate you. But now, after you've opened your mouth, after you've stirred your faith, it's now time to act. Because Jesus didn't just speak healing, he gave the command. So what was the command? Rise, take up your bed, and walk. So tonight, I'm asking you that same question Jesus asked a physically paralyzed man. I'm asking this question to those who are spiritually paralyzed. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to walk out of spiritual paralysis into purpose? If you answered yes, then move something. Jesus in his sovereignty gave you the instruction, and his same word is calling out today. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. So rise, get up from where you've been stuck. So don't just stay there and just be in a valley of decision, indecision, and not knowing what should I go? He's telling you. He's giving you the instruction. He's giving you the plan. He's giving you the command to rise, get up from where you've been stuck. It's a call to shift your position. You were in a position of stagnancy, a position of paralysis where you couldn't move, and now he wants you to shift your position. Shift your mindset. In order for you to do something you've never done before, you're going to have to do it. You have to make up in your mind to do it. That's the first step. Once you make your decision, once you said, yes, I will, once you've given your yes going to come back and haunt you. Come on. You'll have people that say, oh, Mr. Sharon, you remember? Yeah, it's that time. So, amen. Amen. And we thank God for that, because God is watching. He's watching all this going on, and he's saying, okay, sometimes he's going to nudge us and say, okay, remember your commitment. Jesus wasn't just telling a man to stand. He was commanding a mindset shift. You've been lying in that condition and that fear and that spiritual dryness too long. To rise is to say yes to transformation, yes. Even when you're used to limitation. You don't need a new pool. You need a new posture. So the second thing he said was, take up thy bed and walk. Carry what used to carry you. The bed represents the place of comfort, dependency, and past dysfunction. Jesus says, pick up what you were once dependent on. In other words, your own testimony. Let it be a reminder, not a recliner. What once held you is now something you hold, and God would use it to show others what he can do. This is one of those things he's saying, pick up your bed. So the bed wasn't a posturpedic or a Sealy or anything like that. The bed was just a mat. So remember we said that all the multitudes was on the porch. There would be a mat there, and it's kind of lightweight, usually made of straw. They can pick it up. But what we need to do is, the reason why Jesus said pick it up, because you ever had your purse, it's like, save my seat, because you know you're going to come back. Take your purse. If you know you got your purse with you, then when you come back, you don't even know which seat I was in. But if your purse was sitting in that seat like that, Minister Jennifer, right there, then I know exactly my position when I come back. So that's why he's saying, take that mat up, because you're not going to find me in that same position. Take the mat and leave. Let your mess become your ministry. Your test become your testimony.
Yes.
So apostle would frequently tell us, whatever God delivered you from under is what he will cause you to steward over. So if I messed that up, amen. Bless the name of the Lord, apostle. Y'all get the point. And the last command God said was walk. Move forward towards purpose. Move something. Walking is progressive. It's progression. It means I'm not staying here. I'm headed somewhere. I'm not just healed. I'm sent, because it's within me, right? God doesn't deliver us to make God doesn't deliver you just to make you comfortable. He delivers you to walk in destiny.
Yes.
This is a command to live, move, and walk out your calling. Healing isn't the end. It's the beginning of your journey. Jesus isn't just going to heal you. He's going to activate your purpose. So Jesus is telling us, now that you've heard my word, respond to it. This is the moment where obedience meets opportunity, where faith meets movement, where paralysis meets power. So once you've done that, for those who don't know how to find, and I'm closing, how to find your purpose, there's a few key things you can jot down. Because that's a lot of times we get stuck at. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my purpose is. You need to seek God through prayer. Yes. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13 says, then shall you come upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Go to God in prayer, not as a last resort, but as your first step. The second thing you need to do is study and meditate on the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, we talked about that before. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Everything that you need pertaining to life and your destiny and your purpose and how to do, how to move, is in the word of God. He's left the blueprint for you, but you have to read it. You want to, they said there's so much more to the story. You have to pick up. Don't put the book down. Because if you put the book down, you're not going to know how the story ends. You're not going to know how to navigate. If you go to the movies, if you fall asleep in the middle of the movie, or sometimes you need to stay past the end of the movie because they give a little extra to let you know what to look for in the other movie. So sometimes people may, wait, they had something else after the credits roll? Girl, yeah. It's going to be part two or something. So stay until the end. Don't put the book down. Identify your spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:5, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. But in that, refer back to number 1 and 2, because sometimes the things that you're passionate about may not be what God's assignment is for you, so you need to seek him in all things. Get advice from someone wise. Get wise counsel. So that you would hear that, and this is Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, here's a caveat. Seek instruction from the spiritually mature. You always want to find out, do you want to grow? Do you want to do better? If you want to make $1 million, if you want to be a billionaire, then learn and go on YouTube. If you don't know a millionaire, go on YouTube and find out how. So you always want to learn up, if that makes any sense. And then surround yourself with people who are like-minded that want to go where you want to go. The people just want to, girl, that tells you, dump them. Because they will drain you down. Then you in your mind like, yeah, you know, we're going to stay again. We can't make it. No, we're going to make it. Surround yourself with wise voices. Don't walk alone. See God. Ticking for both of us at the same time. So almost like when you go to an airport. You know how you go on a tarmac and you have a plane that's about to take off? And what happens? There's another plane right behind it that's taking off. We don't know how long we're going to be here. Even the word says that at an appointed time, it's appointed for every man to die once. So we're going to leave here one way or another. So whenever you hear that baby say, wah, wah, a baby's being born, the countdown has begun. Time is not ticking up. Time is counting down. What are you going to do with the time that you have? Are you going to stay paralyzed in the state when the word of God is telling you what to do? Rise. Take up your bed and walk. Everything that you need, he's all... We are God's workmanship. It's already, you're living and you are the finished work. So now you must uncover, unlock that which is within you. You have purpose. There is an assignment that's custom specifically for you that God is nudging you right now to step forward, to move forward, walk in your assignment. Those of you right now, on the sound of my voice is online, if you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sins right now, now is the time. Tomorrow is not promised. If you hadn't made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time. You need Holy Spirit in your life to lead you, to guide you. You need his protection. And he loves you, and he's meeting you right where you are. So don't kick yourself and saying right now, oh, I'm not good enough. He's done the finished work. Jesus has done all the heavy lifting. He just needs your yes. Make up in your mind today whom you will serve. And this is it will be the best decision you can make in your life. So walk in faith and walk with God. Amen. So is there anyone in the house or anyone online that wants to make Jesus choice, that want to give their life to Christ? There's no place that's better than being in the arms and the protection of Jesus Christ. And just write and type in the comment box, give my yes. Hashtag give my yes. Write it in the box. It's not coincidence that you turn on your YouTube Roku or you dialed in and you heard some of that. That's those who have backslid or fallen away from God. Because God, he has moved. It's us that we fall away. But he's wanting to restore you right now in the name of Jesus. He's saying, come on home. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, even till the end of the world. Amen. He is the good shepherd. And he'll go out to find that one out of the 99. And if that's you on tonight, you can come on home. You can come on back to God. Now, last appeal is for those who want to join the ministry at Elevate Church. This is a good place to be fed, to sit, be to leadership that will allow you to learn of God, learn of his word, get strength. Talked about having wise counsel, being upon. It's important for you not to isolate yourself. The devil wants to devour you. He's going like a roaring lion trying to devour you in your thoughts. You're sitting alone and trying to figure it out. You need some help. You need others that are around you that can rally around you, that can support you, that can pray with you. Type in the box, connect to Elevate if you would like to join our assembly. Is there one in the house that needs prayer? The altar is open. Anyone that has thought about that those questions on tonight, what affliction are you dealing with right now that is causing your spiritual paralysis? Put your affliction on the altar so God can make the alterations. He can transform your life. He can make you brand new. You don't have to go back the same way you came. You can be restored. Is there anyone online? Amen. You can type in, I need prayer. And then one of our cyber hospitality hosts will meet you there. Just tell us what you need. And even if you don't want to write specifically what it is, we're praying with you that God will meet every need. Walking into our purpose, we're walking into our assignments, oh God. Lord God, we are the solution to someone else, oh God. So we ask that you help us, oh God. Help us, Lord, because we're delaying somebody else's blessing. We're delaying somebody else's prayer answer because we are the solution, oh God. God, we thank you. We praise you. We give your name the glory and honor. And the atmosphere was set. The presence of the Lord is here in this place. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. God, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Walking into our purpose with boldness, authority, and power that you've given unto us, oh God. Because we're going to speak what you say speak, oh God. We are your reflection, God. There is nothing lacking, nothing broken within us, because we are a reflection of you, oh God. And we thank you. Sanctuary host will come and provide you with an envelope. And those of you who are online, you can also participate in the giving. This is fertile ground. Amen. And Malachi talks to us about proving God that he will not open up a window of blessing and pour you out of blessing. You will have room to receive God. I'm a witness that God will make the way out of no way. There's a cliche that says you can make a dollar out of 15 cents. Amen. You can make $1 million out of nothing. Because I thank God for the divine mathematics. Because it doesn't make sense to us. God can, he can do anything but fail. So, amen. You can give a number of ways. You can give by Cash App, by doing Cash App $ELEVATEBR. You can also give text to give. 84321 and follow the prompts. You can also mail in your seat to 10957 Greenwell Springs Road in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Please do not send cash in the mail. You can send cashier's check, money order. We'll take it all. Amen, amen, amen. And of course, you can also bring in the house cash. Amen. So we're going to ask everyone stand to your feet. Of our offering confession. Amen. God is the source of my giving is a reflection of my trust in God. So today I give with a grateful and cheerful heart. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on around, you face the wall, and come on. Here we go. Come expecting the turnaround. Amen. By the end of the week, we pray that God will meet your need in a tangible way. Thank God for the testimonies that's going to come out of this. Amen. He'll take that seed and multiply it. We want divine mathematics. Amen. 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 Father God, we thank you for this word on tonight. We thank you for those who were able to hear, those who were able to hear, God. We ask that you bless each and every one, oh God. Meet every need, oh God, in everyone's home. Meet the need of the house, oh God. Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you for your divine mathematics by me and thee while we're absent one from another. In Jesus' name, amen.